Good evening. Welcome to part four, the final fourth chelik of our discussion of Mimareach, the Malach of Mimareach, and it's told the Mimachik. What we're going to do tonight is two things. The first, probably half of the shiur will be finishing up some details about smoothing food items, and the second half, maybe I should have put it on the email, might have sounded more interesting to people, is Shabbos makeup. Whatever I was able to research about the appropriateness, the halachas, behind Shabbos makeup, for those of you who are familiar, there is probably a very large industry, from what I saw online, of Shabbos makeup, and you can research more yourselves as to the details, but I'll try to provide a little bit of the halachic background. So let's begin with a very simple question. We've been learning that a person is not allowed to smooth ointments, a person is not allowed to smooth, we talked last time we met about toothpaste, a person not allowed to smooth creams. What about smoothing foods? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Because did you ever serve chopped liver on Shabbos? On a plate, on a platter, if you ever worked with a caterer, so they always smooth off the top. So is that going to be okay on Shabbos, or is that going to be smoothing, which we generally assume is usually considered mimareach, smoothing stuff. So the story begins as follows. Before we talk about smoothing food items, we're going to talk about tanning hide. Why? You'll see in a moment. So, tanning is one of the 39 malachas that has nothing to do with the color tan, I think. I don't know, really, because I was never in a tannery. But tanning is one of the 39 malachas, and that involves putting leather in chemicals and turning it from the back of a cow or a horse into a leather jacket, pocketbook, pair of shoes, baseball mitt. Now, one of the Rishonim, the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, was the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that the malach of tanning does not apply to food. We'll see why in a moment. And he says that just as tanning doesn't apply to food, so too we could deduce from here that tartash shel tapuchim. I don't know what tartash is. I don't think it's tartar. We talked about tartar a few weeks ago. But some kind of apple, I don't know if it's an apple jelly, I don't know if it's baked apples, but that is permitted, since there's no tanning regarding food, so too, you could take this apple stuff, either apple preserves, apple jelly, apple sauce, apple baked apple, and you could smooth it onto your bread on Shabbos. Now, I don't have apple jelly. I did have baked apples this week, and my 7-year-old son made them by himself, and my 8-year-old son made deli roll by himself, so I'm very happy. We're in a good trajectory. So I just have one question. What is the fact that there's no tanning regarding food? Why does that translate, therefore you're allowed to smooth apple stuff onto your bread? Smoothing is mimachik. That's a malacha of mimachik, of smoothing. Tanning is a malacha of ma'abed. It's a totally different malacha. Why does whatever the halacha of tanning tell us what the halacha by smoothing mimareach should be? The answer is, what do you tan? What kind of things were tanned in the Mishkan? Like we said, leather, hides. Well, what else was done, what other malachas were done with hides? We know that if you break down the 39 malachas, you'll find different categories. There's 11, the first 11 relate to what they call sidra de pat, the seder of bread making, from harvesting, plowing, all the things that involved up till cooking or baking, bread. Those are the first 11. Then you have another bunch of categories that talk about sewing, all the different malachas that are involved in sewing and weaving, tearing, ripping, sewing, and all the different things of working with a loom, shnei batei nirin. Then you have another set of categories with a whole bunch, I don't remember how many, maybe eight or five, six, seven, eight, that refer all to dealing with hides. Because they needed the hides. Where did they need the hides? We talked about this 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago. Where were the hides in the Mishkan? Where were they? Yes, covering the top. Or tachash, the different oros, the different oros elim, adamim, oros chashim, that were covering over the top part as a roof, like a tent, basically, over the Mishkan. So that relates to hides. Well, if we say that one of the malachas relating to hides, tanning the hide, doesn't apply to food, then it's reasonable to assume, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's reasonable to assume that other things, other malachas relating to hides, shouldn't apply to foods. What else did we say is based on hides? the malacha that we're learning tonight. That's memachek. Memachek was smoothing off. If you remember the first time we learned about memachek, it was smoothing off the, either rubbing off the hairs on the hairy side of the leather, smoothing the leather down, and therefore, if we assume that there's no tanning regarding foods, because tanning is like, when you tan leather, the purpose is to do something permanent, to last for years. You have your leather jackets, and no one has a leather jacket here. Okay, if you have the leather jacket that you have in your closet, you've had it since 11th grade, right? Right? Yes, 11th grade, probably. And what's that? Right, before Israel, whatever. They were 12, but definitely before Israel. Okay. So leather lasts a long time. So doing tanning in such a way that it will last a long time, that's a malacha. It stands to reason that other malachas relating to hide, mamachik, for example, also will make sense if it's for long periods of time. The effect of your malacha is long periods of time, like rubbing down a hide so that it's smooth for long years. You could have your baseball mitt for, your father has his baseball mitt for 30 years. So too, memareach, in our discussion, smoothing the apples or the apple sauce or the baked apples or the apple jelly, whatever that Mordechai is referring to, smoothing onto bread will be permitted. There will not be memareach in foods. If we stopped here, it sounds like you could do any smoothing you want regarding food. It's never permanent. Food is always the epitome of temporary. In fact, when you smooth that chopped liver before the bar mitzvah, or before the Kiddush, you're hoping that it will be gone in an hour or so. You're not hoping, like, I hope no one eats it. It's so beautiful. Usually it's the opposite. You want to make it aesthetically pleasing so people will eat more of it. So it's the opposite of permanent. It's temporary. So therefore, if we would stop here, perhaps we would assume that, again, the Mordechai said, just like there's no tanning hides, that doesn't relate to food items. You don't have to worry about tanning foods. However you would tan food, that's not a discussion for now. So too, you should be able to smooth foods. However, he continues and says, maybe that should only be true on a Doraisa level. But maybe midrabanan, there will be a problem of tanning. Because there is such a thing as tanning foods. Does anyone know what tanning there is referring to foods? How do you tan foods? What's tanning? Tanning is you put hides, leather, in a, I don't say leather, I say hides, skins. You put them in chemicals, and you take them out a few hours later, and they are somehow processed, and they're leather usable for shoes, belts, pocketbooks, jackets. So where do you apply that to food items? Or something similar, what? What?
Baking
is ofa, it's a different malacha, no? Pickling, yes, that is correct. Pickling. And putting things in a brine, what? Perhaps, but it's kosh kavushal is a sigur and vishal, and this is ma'aved. Pickling, or perhaps salting certain kinds of foods in certain kinds of ways, which was not tonight's malach, that's another time of discussion. That does apply midrabanan, at least by food. So, we're not so sure about what we should learn from tanning, because even if you tell me there's no tanning by foods, well, I just said there is a kind of tanning with certain kinds of problems with pickling or salting foods. So maybe there will also be an equal itzidrabanan, smoothing out my chopped liver and smoothing out my hummus and smoothing out my egg salad. So the Mordechai concludes that I have another reason why there's no problem smoothing out foods on Shabbos. And he says, because when you have chopped liver that's bumpy, how does it taste? Like chopped liver? No, okay, forget it. How does it taste? Delicious, right? As my children call it, chocolate liver. Okay, so you have your chocolate liver, your chopped liver, bumpy. It tastes delicious. And what happens after you smooth it? It tastes the exact same. And therefore, it says the Mordechai, you didn't change one thing. You didn't change diddly squat. You didn't change anything at all. And therefore, it's going to be mutter to smooth it out because it's equally edible before smoothing. And therefore, the Mordechai concludes, it will be mutter, it will be permitted to smooth out foods on Shabbos because they were equally edible before smoothing and after smoothing, you didn't change anything. And then he ends with three words. Well, two words, which are really five words, four words. V'hamachmir taf ayin beiz, tavo alav bracha. If you could be machmir and avoid it, it's better. So what do we come out? This Mordechai is actually the source in halacha, The Rama does paskin that it is permitted to smooth out foods, and it's not considered mamache because you could eat it before you smoothed it. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, but amachmir tavo alav bracha. It's better to try to be machmir and avoid it if you can. So, let me rephrase that. You will get a bracha if you avoid it. So if you're a caterer and you care more about making a nice presentation, you don't necessarily need to get yourself a bracha, you just want to be a good caterer, it's mutar lechatchila to smooth the foods. And therefore we come up with the following. Mi'ikar hadin, you're permitted to smooth out the tuna fish salad, you're permitted to smooth out your egg salad, you're permitted to smooth out your hummus, your baba ganoush, your chopped liver, ice cream. Do you ever put ice cream in a bowl and you sort of smooth it off? Okay, we'll talk more about ice cream in a minute. Icing on a cake. Do you ever, you make your cake before Shabbos, then you make your icing separately, or you buy those Dunkin' Hines? No. Dunkin' Hines, okay, fine. What's that? Yeah, the other one. We have a different one, I guess. Maybe Pillsbury, whatever it is, you buy the pre-made icing and you don't want to put it on before Shabbos, so you don't have time. Friday afternoon, you take the cake out of the oven, you don't have time to ice it, or it's a hot day, the ice will get all mushy or something. So you're permitted, you're mutter l'chatchila, to ice your cake, but tavo lav bracha, to avoid it. Accordingly, similar halachas, the same thing will be, let's say I have a tube, so when I squeeze out the tube, I get the whatever shaped icing in a flower shape or a star shape. Well, there, I'm really doing the same thing. I'm squeezing, I'm shaping or smoothing out the contour, the shape of this icing. That is going to be mutter because the icing tasted the same before you squeezed it out of the tube's mouthpiece as after you squeeze it out. And therefore, I don't think it's going to be kosave. And as far as mochek, memachek, it is mutter lechatchila, but it's better to avoid. That's a different issue. Writing a name will be a different issue. What? If you draw a picture with it, that'll also be an issue. Rambam says drawing pictures is also kosher, not just. I'm just squeezing out the tube, and the tube's mouthpiece itself has the shape of a flower or the shape of a star. So as you squeeze it out, imagine picture a toothpaste tube. And instead of a round circle that lets a circle of toothpaste come out, there's some cool shape. Yeah. Why is that not kosave? Because you're just squeezing out a tube. Kosave has to be like applying something to a, applying X to Y. If you just, you're not writing. If you would take the toothpaste or the icing and then draw a name or a picture, that would be kosave. But here, just squeezing out of the tube and it happens to be smooth in a certain shape. That smoothing is not going to be a problem. But it should be avoided tavala of bracha. We now go to the next stage, which is going to be mutter even more than that. Did anyone ever tell you, I like to have, if you come to my house, some of you have been to my house for Shabbos lunch, you know that I'm into hummus. And I put my hummus on my challah. Are you allowed a smooth chumis on your challah? Okay, we say it's mutter mi'ikar hadin, but is it going to be a tavol of bracha? It's better. A bracha will come your way if you avoid smoothing mayonnaise, jelly, butter, margarine, hummus, anything else that you smooth on your bread. Should that be avoided if you're from person? If you're whatever, upright, righteous, tavol of bracha seeking person? So here, the poskim distinguish. They say that the whole question of smoothing that we just said is better to avoid if you can is when you're doing it for smoothing purposes. But when I put hummus or butter, let's talk about butter, that's the best example. When I put butter on my bread, or butter on my matzah on Pesach, or butter on my margarine on my challah, why am I putting it on? Because I want a smooth surface? No. I'm applying it and I'm smoothing it out so that I could get the butter on the whole plate. Did you ever, if you have any younger siblings, like you butter a piece of challah for them, and what do they tell you? You miss the corner, you miss this, you miss that. Why? They are the proof that the purpose of buttering challah is not to smooth it, but rather to just get butter in an efficient, effective way to all corners, arba kanfos challah. And therefore, say the poskim, that even though we said that it's tavol alav bracha, it's a little bit better to avoid smoothing foods for aesthetic purposes. If you just want to make it look nice and swept and clean, that's better to avoid. But if the purpose is just to get it on all parts of your challah or cake or matzah, then it will be mutar lechatchila. So therefore, coming back to the icing on the cake, if you didn't ice your cake before Shabbos and you want to just get this icing on, you don't care if it looks beautifully, you know, you go to these, you go to a wedding and you see a wedding cake and it's like perfectly scalloped and smooth. That's not your goal. You just want to get icing on cake because the cake looked ugly, or when you took it out of the bundt pan and all the top came off, you just want to get the icing on top of it. Cover over all the bumps and the whatever else you want to get rid of, you want to conceal. So your goal is not necessarily to make a smooth surface. You just want to get icing on the cake. That will be mutar lechatchila without any question, without any tavel of bracha. Because there, you're not taking the icing, trying to smooth it so it'll be neat and nice and look pretty. You just want to have the cake iced. So too, you want to have your bread margarined or buttered. That will be mutar lechatchila without any hesitation whatsoever. Accordingly, let's think about the following. Let's think about... Did you ever go to an ice cream store? Two things in an ice cream store. First of all, using an ice cream scoop. The very use of an ice cream scoop gives the ice cream ball a beautiful, smooth contour, the right shape. Is that going to be smoothing out? Is it going to be tavel of bracha? Okay, it's food, so it's mutter, but is it going to be tavel of bracha not to use an ice cream scooper? Well, why do you use an ice cream scooper? Is your goal to make something smooth? Your goal is to get ice cream out. Therefore, it will be mutar lechatchila to use an ice cream scooper in Shabbos. And let's say you get a cone. So you want to smush it. When you have a cone, like sometimes they just put ice cream on top. But the real, if you have a tub of ice cream and you want to make your own cone, what are you going to do? You can sort of pack it well. So you're going to sort of smooth it as you pack it. Your goal there is smoothing it is for what? So it will be smooth and pretty? No, so it's just get everywhere. That again will be mutar lechatchila on Shabbos. Questions? If you make it look nice with a shinui, will that evade the tavol of bracha chumra? No, it's a good question. It's a good question. What kind of shinui are you going to do? Your palm, the palm of your hand. I'm not even at your house. The chopped liver smells like, okay. Man, I'm sorry, what? You roll some kind of flat object over the chopped liver. So I'll tell you why I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Did we learn any leniencies for Shini? When we learned Tochein last month, we did learn that in the halachas of Tochein, Shinui, there was a Gemara that says if you do Tochein b'Shinui, it becomes Mutter. In the discussion of Mimareach, we did not learn anything about a special Kula of doing it b'Shinui. But you're saying, I don't know the answer. I hear what you're saying. It's reasonable to assume that it might be Mutter l'chatchila without any problems of, without even violating, not violating, without even missing out on the Tavol of Bracha if you do b'Shinui. But I did not see anybody discuss it explicitly. So I don't know.
Does it make any difference if it's
altar? No. There's no leniency of la'altar when it comes to memoreach.
And also, what kind of situation?
And I'll tell you why, I think. This is just one thing on the spot. The leniency of la'altar that we have by Borer and that we have by Tochein, that's because those are malachas that relate to food. Both Borer and Tochein relate to preparing food. And therefore, it makes sense that if you're doing it in the Derech Achila, La'alta means Derech Achila, it's not so much a malach, it's just the way people eat. But this malach is not a food malach. This is a hide, leather-related malach, and therefore we might not use the concept of La'alta. About the what?
Whether starting at
Yeah, the only reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is that the Rashba writes that the reason why there's a heter of la'altar when it comes to tochin is because that's derech achila. When you dice up vegetables really small right before a meal, he says it's mutar because it's derech achila. It's not called malach, it's derech achila. I hear your point. Okay, let's finish up with one more point. This is an obvious extension of things that we spoke about a few weeks ago. Let's say you want to smear things and smooth things that's not food at all. Everything we talked about in the past 15 minutes or so were all food items. Let's say we talk about non-food items, but you want to smear things or smooth things for non-food purposes. Those will, of course, be problematic, even if it's, let's say, butter on your lips, that even though butter is a food, but it's not for eating, butter on your lips, let's say it's for chapped lips purposes, that will, even if it's to prevent chapping lips, we saw that preventing might be different than therapeutic after chapped, but butter would be a problem because that's smoothing out something. If any of you had braces like I did when I was in 7th, 8th grade, the orthodontist gave us wax, that if the metal of the braces irritated the inside of our cheeks, we could take the wax and smooth it over the braces or the bracket inside on our teeth to make it a smooth surface, so our inside of our cheeks won't be abraded, won't be irritated. That also will be a problem to smooth wax or gum for that purpose. If you have to chew gum, you want to use gum instead of wax. That would also be a problem because you're smoothing it into something. Of course, if you have any other situation where you have an opportunity to smooth something out, flatten something out, smush something in, flatten it in that has a wax type consistency, those will all be problematic. And that's going to be the main discussion that we're having until now, as far as mumachek, remareach, smoothing ointments. What I want to do now for the rest of today is some details regarding makeup on Shabbos. Now, makeup on Shabbos is not a great thing to give a shiur on, and it's probably an even better thing that a lot of people don't come to this shiur, because there's not much that a rabbi could say about, you know, people, you know, it is what it is, and we don't have to be apologetic about it, but at the same time, I apologize for the way things are. One thing that it is important to at least have a perspective on. Somebody might hear that makeup, for various reasons, specifically mimareach reasons, smoothing on, specifically we talked about lipstick, for example, smoothing on other creams are not an option on Shabbos. As somebody who doesn't understand and see things from the sources like we've learned together, might just say, you know, Chazal don't understand that for some people how important it is, and Chazal didn't appreciate how much it means to some women to be able to present themselves in a certain way. I just want to at least diffuse that perspective that Chazal sort of don't really understand how people or how women might feel, and that's with a very fascinating takana as early as Ezra HaSofer. So we're going back 1,000 years before the Gemara, to the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Ezra HaSofer comes up from Golos Bavel after 70 years of Golos Bavel between the two Beit HaMikdash from Bavel, comes back to Eretz Yisrael. And when Ezra HaSofer comes to Eretz Yisrael, he sets up, there's a reestablishment of the community and the settlement in Eretz Yisrael. And Ezra passes, I think, 10 if not more, I think there were 10 takanos to assist in the financial, the settling, all different kinds of takanos. One of them that we just had learning in the Gemara and the Yeshiva and Ksuvis, the beginning of Ksuvis, is that courts should sit twice a week, every Monday, Thursday, on market days. That's when Batei Din have to sit, every Monday and Thursday. Why was it Ezra who made that takana? Why was it that time of history that takana became necessary, important, or meaningful? It's because there was you had very little inhabited land, but also resettling Eretz Yisrael, so Ezra had to make these takanos to say, we want to give the economy a jump start and set things up in a way that commerce could be effective, so we'll set up, you know, a better judicial system that every Monday, Thursday, Beit Dins will sit. One of the other takanos of Ezra at that exact time period was as they're reestablishing the community in Eretz Yisrael, was that he was mechayiv, he obligated as a chiyuv, that rochlin, peddlers, merchants, have to be available to sell makeup to women in all the cities of Eretz Yisrael. And I think the fact that he had that perspective, there was an understanding that it is an important thing and people need it and women feel that it's necessary in order to feel good about themselves in many instances. And it's important to realize that Chazal were aware of that and had that perspective. And nevertheless, when it comes to certain things that are Chil Shabbos, it is what it is. Chil Shabbos is what it is. We mentioned once before that permanent makeup is just a fancy name for tattooing. That's an issa d'oraisa of getting a ksavas kaka, a tattoo. We're not going to talk about tattooing or permanent makeup. The issues, the two issues on Shabbos, basically, there are a few. Smoothing, like lipstick, is an issue, as we mentioned 4 weeks ago, of mimareach, which is, again, smoothing, like any other cream or ointment or soap bar or deodorant stick. The other issue that the post could discuss is tzoveya. Even if I have a liquid, what's the case of a liquid makeup? Nail polish, perhaps some kind of lip applications are not sticks, but they're more of some glosses or some other kind of lip coloring. That you'll say there's no mimareach there. You're not smoothing anything out. It's not a bar that you're rubbing against your lips or your fingernails. But on the other hand, there's a separate malacha of tzoveya. And the same way you can't paint the walls of your house, that's tzaveya, you also can't paint your fingernails or your lips, as the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, that a person can't color their body on Shabbos because of tzaveya. As we get, talk about a few specific things when it comes to what they call Shabbos makeup in a moment, but even where there will be heterim to use certain kinds of Shabbos makeup, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, there's another concern of tzaveya, mixing colors. Even if they will be permitted to apply a certain color, which we'll see how or why or what in a moment, but putting one color with another color, that will also be coloring the other color. So we're not going to be able to either ever blend or use two colors of powder, which we'll see in a minute. What other concerns will there exist regarding cosmetics? Obviously, when a person cleans makeup off their face, a person could wash their face with cleansers, with liquid cleansers, with liquid soaps, but they won't be able to use, they have sometimes makeup removing cloths or eye makeup removing cloths that might be involved with liquid soaked up in a cloth that's going to be squeezed out as a person cleans their face, or a sponge, a cleansing pad, a cleansing sponge, that's going to be schita. Or libun, which is squeezing liquid out of a fabric, that also will be a similar iser to deal with. If a person wants to remove makeup, they could just wash it off. If they have to rub it off, then they have to rub it off with something dry, not with something that is soaked with liquid. Sure. So if you have eye makeup remover and you apply it with your finger to the eye to remove the makeup, whatever chemical stuff it takes off, no problem. But then you want to get it off your face, so you take a tissue and wipe it off. That sounds okay to me, as far as I know. Right, you're not trying to get any color, you're throwing it away. I think that should be okay. I think that should be okay as far as I know, yeah. Oh, you're asking a great question. If painting is tzaveya, so erasing should be the inverse, right? Well, let's think for a second. Erasing is the inverse of which malacha? Kosev. This is not kosev. The only thing that might be kosev is eyeliner. Eyeliner, where you drawing a line, a picture. The Rambam says, I think we mentioned a few minutes ago, the Rambam writes that drawing pictures on Shabbos is also kosev, not just drawing letters. Even though the Mishnah talks about drawing letters and how many letters, but the Rambam writes that drawing a picture is considered kosev. If you draw a picture of a circle around your eye or a line above your eye or an extension of an eyebrow or something like that, that would be possibly kosev besides tzoveya, but kosev also. So the inverse would be mochek. You're saying if I have an eyeliner that I put on Erev Shabbos and now Friday night before I go to sleep I want to wash off that eyeliner, so should that be mochek? That's a great question. So right, there is no, we don't know of any antonym for tsever. There's no, you know, a lot of melachas come in pairs. Which melachas come in pairs? Tofer and korea, to sew and to rip apart. You have bona and you have soser, I think. You have, what? Mechaba and havara, right, lighting a fire and extinguishing a fire. You have kosev and you have mochek. By tzaveh, you don't have a sister or cousin malacha that I'm aware of. So is there an issur of washing off eyeliner? I don't know. The only thing that I could think of is that, at least on a derais level, I'm not sure on a derabanan level, the issur of mochek only applies when you erase for the purpose of rewriting something. So when you are cleaning your face, it's not, you're not cleaning your face so you have a new, you know, surface upon which to write next time. Malabin is for fabrics. There's no malabin on skin. Yeah. Okay, those are good points. So let's talk about some other issues that could come up. Another issue that could come up, which we discussed, is if a person has powder, blush, or some other kind of powder, and it's clumpy, or it has a bumpy, clumpy, and you want to break up the clumps, then one might argue maybe that's a problem of tochein, but we actually learned that might not be such a problem a few weeks ago when we learned tochein, because ein tochein acha tochein. Something that was already powdered, and now it caked together, like salt. We learned about pills are made from powder that they cake together as a pill. It is mutter to break it up again, because ein tochein acha tochein. Once something has been ground, there's no provision to grind it up again. Okay, so what do the words Shabbos makeup mean? Shabbos makeup is based on a tshuva of Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein, there are two tshuvas, and I'm going to share with you both tshuvas, because when you read the first, you might get the wrong idea, and Ramosha realized that, so he therefore wrote a second. Ramosha Feinstein writes the following. He was asked if it's permitted for a woman to use Lamed Yud Pei Samach Tet Yud Kuf. What does that spell? Lipstick. And Ramosha says that it's usher for two separate reasons, as we just mentioned, both memachek, smoothing, as well as tzavea. And then he says, and if it's a liquid, like a gloss, where there's no memachek, there nevertheless is still an isser tzavea, you're coloring your body, your lips. Similarly, Ramosha continues and says, so too, usher li'isha litzvoa et paneha. I assume that would be something like blush or some other powder, some other kinds of stuff that colors the skin, and that's a problem with tzaveh. And then he says the following: Aval lizrok et ha-powder, pei aleph vav dalet ayin resht, powder. In Yiddish, ayin is e, powder, so dalet ayin resht. Okay, lizrok et ha-powder, throw powder. Lavan, white powder, al ha-panim, shalomit kayem klal, that does not stay at all. Ein bazeh, there's no iser of tzaveya. Based on this tshuva, that you could throw powder on your face, if it doesn't stick, there's no problem of coloring. Based on this tshuva, has developed the industry called Shabbos makeup. The point that Ramosha here is making, and the point of Shabbos makeup, as far as, again, there might be more that I don't know about yet. The point of Shabbos makeup is that it's made, and again, not all powders are going to be mutter, coins, or moshe, as we'll see in a minute. The point is that tzoveya, what is tzoveya? Tzoveya is I'm coloring something. If I drop some powder on something, if you have confectioner's sugar, and you drop it on top of this dining room table, this kitchen table, is anyone going to say, oh, you colored the table white, you would survey the table white? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's eno mitkayim klal. It doesn't last there at all. The whole purpose of color, when I paint a wall, is there any purpose of painting a wall and a paint that will come off right away? That's not painting. So similarly, if I paint my face with a paint that will not stay on at all, that will also not be tzavea whatsoever. So, if we have powders or blushes that could be applied to the face and don't stick, that will not be tzaveya. But wait a second. If they don't stick, so what's the point of putting them on? This is where, so that's where the next tshuva comes from Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe now in a later chelik. The first tshuva I told you was in Orach Chaim chelik Aleph. Years later, when he got up to Orach Chaim chelik Hey, which was many years, perhaps decades later, he clarified that first tshuva that he wrote, and he said that hey, even if it's colored, since it doesn't stick, you could put all the colors you want. You could put red and raspberry and cherry and rouge and whatever, all the wonderful colors that they make, you could put that on your skin because, hey, it's temporary, so it's not going to be tzavea. He clarifies himself. He says, most powders that are sold in the cosmetic industry are made on a base that involves some shamnunit, some oil-based something. Why do the cosmetic industry, I don't know if it has to be oil or some other oil kind of, why is there always some kind of base for all these powders that are based in some shamnunit, some oil kind of base? Because that's what makes them stay on the skin, stick on the skin. And that's the whole point of makeup, because if you have makeup that falls off immediately, no one's going to buy it. And therefore, those will have a problem of tzoveya. And the only leniency that I wrote about in my previous tshuva, says Rav Moshe in this later tshuva, I was referring to simple white powder that is called talc. T, tet, aleph, lamed, kuf. Talc. Baby powder, basically. You want a person has sunburn and they look too red, they like looking whiter, they could take some baby powder and they could sprinkle some baby powder on their face to look white. There's no oily base. There's no content that will make it stick to their skin. That's what I meant when I was talking about these powders. And therefore, when Shandy Cosmetics or whoever else markets their Shabbos makeup, they don't just take powders and call it Shabbos makeup. They will have, or they will order, only cosmetics, only let's say blushes or powders that are not oil-based. They're more powdery, less sticky, less of a sticky consistency that will not last as long. And those are the things that this industry will permit. Keep in mind, however, that this kula of Rav Moshe, that if it's something that's not oil-based and therefore will not stick to the skin, and also, by the way, if your face is wet and you put on a powder, it's also going to stick. If you have dust and there's a wet surface, right, when you want to dust furniture, what do? You dampen a piece of a rag, you spray some spray on it, and then you pick up all the dust, because the moisture lets the dust stick to it. So same thing. And all the coolers that we're going to see, that we're talking about right now, about Shabbos maker, to put on this powder, it's only if it's going to be non-oil-based powders, which is what the people who sell Shabbos makeup do that work for you, to find the products that are not oil-based, that powders are not oil-based, that will be able to stick to the skin. And B, even if you do put it on, you have to make sure that the face is dry before the application, because otherwise the moisture will let the powder adhere to the face, and that would similarly be the same problem with Tzavea. Nevertheless, even though we seem to be, and it sounds very machlokes, like this is all you're letting us do, even that Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that when Shmir Shabbos Kilchas, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted, he said, wait a second, I don't care who told you, Rabbi Feinstein, that because it's not going to stay on for too long, that's not called Tzavea. Tzavea is coloring. If you're applying color to skin that's a different color, that's you're coloring. I don't care if it's for a short time. And therefore, the whole institution of Shabbos makeup is based on this understanding of Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva. Keep in mind, not everybody holds like Rav Moshe Feinstein's kula. So even though it sounds like Rav Moshe is being so machmir in terms of the limitation of Shabbos makeup, other poskim don't even grant that. Once a person is using Shabbos makeup, that's already assuming, like some poskim, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, not like Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, there's no such thing as Shabbos makeup. Makeup is just not okay. There are no real exceptions. You just can't do makeup on Shabbos. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, nevertheless, and I guess if somebody is, if it's very difficult for somebody, they're going to rely on Rav Moshe, or maybe not, they're American, they're going to rely on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe certainly had shoulders broad enough to rely upon. Rav Moshe does allow. So first of all, Rav Moshe says, it has to be, Rav Moshe says, you have to make sure that, this should usually have a hashgacha, the Shandy's cosmetics, this is the one I was looking at in terms of how they how they have their psakim and their instructions, does have a psak from Rabbanim on the different product lines to make sure that it is not sticky, it is sufficiently unsticky. Yeah, you had a question. Yeah, okay. You're saying, let's say skin is naturally oily, so when you put a powder on it, it's going to stick automatically. I assume if it's, you know, or if a person's sweaty and they put the, you know, they purposely work with the sweat right before they want to put their makeup on, something sounds wrong here. I'm not sure. So it sounds like we're missing something. Okay, we've talked about. So we mentioned regarding eyeliner that if it's a pencil eyeliner, that's going to be Kosave. So, by the way, a lot of what I have here is from a fabulous article, informative for me, maybe less so for you. Mr. Dark K has a wonderful article, Cosmetics and Shabbos. You might be familiar with it. If not, I advise you to look at it. A lot of what I'm saying is just from there. They have nice aramacomas on the bottom. So liquid eyeliners are equally going to be a problem. Meaning it's not just a problem of writing with a pencil on your eyes, on your face. It's equally a problem of writing with a pen, as opposed to a pencil. Pens with liquid coming out of the pen, right? So liquid eyeliner is sort of also the same kind of thing. It's going to be, putting aside Tavea coloring, it's also going to be, might be a problem of Kosave.
What about black powder?
Black powder? Okay, so hold on one second. So this I never knew until about 2 hours ago. And apparently, the way the poskim write, again, you could look, you could find this the same way I found it, and reading the instructions on the Shabbos makeup halacha section of those websites. And the way that I think Rav Heinemann suggests, if you will be making, Rav Heinemann himself doesn't hold from Moshe's Kula. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, he's the Hashgacha on these. He says, I hold you can't do it, but if you want to follow Rav Moshe and apply powders that don't really stick and are not oil-based, let me tell you how to do it. So the way he says it, if you're going to apply this eyeliner, you can't make a line, as we said. But he says, when applying Shabbos eyeliner, you cannot draw a line. So how do you apply it if you're not going to draw a line? The whole point of an eyeliner is to make a line. So he says, you apply, you might know what this is better, I don't really understand, it sounds funny to me, and not funny, it sounds just very difficult. So you should apply this Shabbos eyeliner, again, it's talking about a powder, black powder, and you will dot the powder making small lines, dashes, and then you'll connect the lines. You can apply as many layers as necessary to make the line darker. Sounds like a lot of work to me, but, okay, it is what it is. What? I guess, Kosi, you're not drawing a shape. It's not any shape. It's not. You're just applying little tiny dashes, and then you connect the dashes, and you're saying, can I draw a picture like that made out of dashes? And I just connect the dashes, connect the dots exactly. Is that all of a sudden going to become mutter? You know, when you teach children how to write their letters, they have like my son's Natanel. So he's 4 years old. When he was 3 and a half, he's ready. He had an N for Natanel. And the way the teacher tells him how to make an N is an N with made out of dashes, and he sort of traces the dashes and draws the lines. So that's going to be mutter. You could connect the dots. Kosev, why is that? Okay, anyway, I'm just telling you what the post can say. I don't know why that is, but that's what they say it's mother. Any other thing? Okay, one other thing that I did see, that as far as lipstick, which from what I understand might be the most challenging thing for women to go without in certain cases, we said that there's a problem of lipstick, both of Mimareach and Soveach. The Moshe also added that if there's a color, there's also a problem of, there's no Mimareach, there's still a problem of Soveach. You're putting red color to your lips. What happens with clear lip gloss, if it's just a shine? Here I tried, the way the Star K brings the halacha, they say it's a problem. And he quotes a piece from Shmuel Shas Kilchasa. I looked at the Shmuel Shas Kilchasa. It's not clear to me, so I'm not clear if there is a heter to use. Again, if it doesn't have a color, it's just a gleam or a shine, and there's no memoreach, maybe that would be okay, but I'm not sure. The article said that it's... What? No, it's a liquid. It's a liquid. A liquid. Memoreach is only with solids or semi-solids. If it's a very liquid, you know better than me, but glosses could be liquidy, right? So there's no memoreach. Yeah, you could use liquid deodorant.
No, so I'm saying it's
right, the same thing. It's like liquid with a ball on top.
Okay. So I think the only issue could be some form, maybe that shine or that gleam is also a tzeveya, perhaps. That's what I don't know. That I'm leaving as a question mark. You could Google as well as I could Google certain lipsticks apparently that last for much longer than others. Some might be able to, you know, could be regular lipsticks last for 4, 5, 6 hours, other 2 hours. Others you could sort of find out for yourselves which could last for as long as a day, maybe 2 days if you're really lucky, certain kinds of lipsticks, perhaps, maybe, maybe not. That's something that if you want you could Google to see what there is that could be put on before Shabbos and then just last a very, very, very long time. There might be some lipsticks that have that advantage. Of course, as far as we mentioned, deodorant, liquid deodorant is, and perfume equally is allowed to be applied to the body, but you can't put it onto clothing or to wigs to make them smell nice, because there's a separate issur d'rabbanan called molid reach, causing smell or letting there be nice smells in items, but to your own body, that's no problem. And I think that's the end of our discussion of makeup on Shabbos, which is the outgrowth of Mimareach, which is the Tolda of Mimachek. We've come full circle. This is our 4-part series on Mimachek. But Ezus Hashem, next time we meet, we will discuss some other topics. So if you have ideas, please let me know of other series going forward. Thanks so much for coming, and Laila Tov.